are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. We talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at ShortstopBall. Also, make sure that you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcasts so that you get that notification whenever we upload a new podcast. I do appreciate all the support and the subscriptions and comments and feedback that you've given me since I've taken over the podcast, and really looking forward to getting into the season with you and going through this upcoming 2021 season with all of you. Also, if you have any questions or comments, you can also email us at lockedonbrewers@gmail.com. Appreciate those emails. Appreciate all the feedback that I've received from you since taking over the podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the fallout from the Justin Turner signing with the Dodgers. We'll look where the Brewers potentially could go next. Also, we're going to talk about a minor league signing that the Brewers made, add some depth to the bullpen, and then we're going to talk about win projection totals. Got a lot of great responses from all of you on Twitter. We're going to go through those, and then we're going to look at an interesting article from MLB.com looking at the best draft picks from the Brewers in the history of their draft picks. So before we do that, I want to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. Make sure that you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your next order. That's BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON. So let's start with the Justin Turner fallout. Obviously, Justin Turner ended up signing with the Dodgers. Not much of a surprise there. As I've kind of been telling you all along, and as a lot of people have really been saying, it didn't really seem like he was going to leave LA. He's had a ton of success there. They just won a World Series. Apparently they have all the money in the world to spend. So it never really seemed like Turner was going to leave LA, but I think the Brewers, you know, were actually in there till the end, and I think they made a strong push. I think they realized what somebody like Justin Turner could do for the Brewers team, for the Brewers lineup, you know, not just his production on the field, but I think what he would do to the clubhouse. So, you know, I think ownership really did want him, but like I said last podcast, in order to get him, they were going to have to go above and beyond in order to get him. And the Dodgers ended up giving him a two-year deal worth $34 million over those 2 years, but also included a club option that could make the potential value $48 million over three years if the option is picked up. And there's also some escalators in that could move it up to $52 million. So a pretty hefty paycheck, in my opinion, for a 36-year-old. And Justin Turner also got an $8 million signing bonus with that. So I thought it was a pretty big paycheck. Could understand why the Brewers maybe weren't willing to go that far. Although there were reports that the Brewers were also offering a two-year deal with a third-year option. Not exactly sure on what the money looked like in that offer from Milwaukee, but it seems like they were, you know, willing to offer up that third year as well, which on the last podcast I told you that's probably, you know, where it would have to go. I think a team would have to be willing to give him that third year option, but I'm going to guess that the Dodgers, you know, were willing to give up a good bit more money in this deal. And like I said, even if the money was even, or even if the Brewers were slightly over what the Dodgers were offering, I think he still would have went back to LA. It's a good fit for him. It's where his home is now. It's where he's had success. So, you know, can't really blame him for wanting to go back there. I obviously don't love it. I wish Milwaukee could have stolen him away, but it sounds like they, you know, Milwaukee did put in a good effort. You can't blame them there. You know, I think they were in it till the end. I think they really liked him, really wanted to push for him. Unfortunately, the Dodgers just have boatloads of money apparently, and just throwing it around to whoever they want. They're way over the luxury tax threshold now, and they just don't even care at this point. They see an opportunity to go on a run of winning World Series, and they're going for it. So kudos to them. You know, hate to see it as a, you know, a Brewers fan, and knowing that you have to go through them in the National League. But you know, in an off season where a lot of teams are cutting money and rolling back their budget, you know, the Dodgers are still continuing to go after it, and it makes it a little easier after you've won a World Series, obviously, and know that you'll probably be able to get that revenue back this year. And they already had deep pockets as it was, but the Dodgers are certainly going for it. So they get Turner back, and the Brewers are left wondering what they're going to do at third base now. And you know, they do have an option there in Luis Urias. I mean, you could technically start the season with him, and if the season started today, that's what it would be. I feel like it would be prudent for them to go out and get a veteran third baseman for the position. Even if you feel like Urias is the guy long term, and I'm certainly not saying that he isn't. I'm not ready to give up on him, but I still think it would be wise to go out and get a veteran bat for third base. My top two options would be Mikael Franco or Jed Jerko. You know, Jerko's obviously, you know, been familiar with Milwaukee, had some success here last year, can play both corner infield spots. I feel like that would kind of be a safe pick. Franco is somebody, you know, he's still kind of young, or he still is young, younger than me. He could, you know, he has a little bit of upside maybe left in the bat, was once a pretty big, well-thought-of prospect with the Phillies, but just never could put it all together. You know, I think he would be your more high upside play. So I'd be okay with either one of those. I do think they need to get one of those. Again, I'm not giving up on Urias at this point, but I've kind of said all along that, you know, maybe he needs to start the season in AAA, get those everyday at-bats. He's been, you know, had a big cup of coffee in the big leagues now. He knows what he needs to do, knows what he needs to work on. You know, perhaps he'd be better suited going back to AAA and working on some of those things, and then easing himself back in to a major league everyday role. And, you know, even if you think Urias is the guy, I still think, you know, signing a backup there is a good idea, and it would just add a good bench bat. So I think that would be the wise move. We'll see what the Brewers do. I keep kind of holding out on these podcasts thinking that they're going to make a move to get somebody for third base, but hasn't happened yet. But there's still plenty of names out there. There's also Travis Shaw and Jake Lamb are two other options that are still out there. So they do have, you know, plenty of guys to choose from, even after Turner going back to LA. Certainly not to the level of Justin Turner, but there are some options out there. So we'll see which way they go with that. The other minor news the past week is that the Brewers did sign Brad Boxberger to a minor league deal with an invite to spring training. Boxberger is a relief pitcher who has had some success in the majors over the years. Really, 17 and 18 were his best seasons. He had a K percentage over 30% in both of those years, and really good ERA numbers. The past 2 years haven't been as great. 2020, he did have a 3.00 ERA, but his xERA was 5.08, which tells you, you know, perhaps he was a little bit lucky with that outcome. But he has also incorporated a slider the past couple of years, maybe trying to retool things a little bit. But he's mostly a fastball, changeup, slider pitcher. And he's also got an uptick in his fastball last year. In 2019, it was averaging 90 miles an hour. And then in 2020, it was at 92.5 miles an hour. So that's certainly an encouraging sign there. Back in 17 and 18, that's about where he was averaging, is about 92 to 93 miles per hour on the fastball. So he's gotten kind of back to that after a pretty big dip in 2019. So again, that's possibly some encouraging news for Boxberger. Just give some more depth to the bullpen. Really, you know, none of these minor league deals I would consider to be bad moves. He is a right-handed reliever as well. So I think that's a solid move by the Brewers to get some depth there in the bullpen. Again, you really can't go wrong there on those minor league deals. So we'll see if Boxberger plays, is able to crack the major league roster and have an impact on the upcoming season. Before we talk about our win projection totals, I want to tell you a little bit about our friends at betonline.ag. There's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. With the NBA, NHL, college basketball seasons in full swing, there are plenty of games to choose from every night, so don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This episode is also brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. There are just so many different makes and models of automobiles these days that it's almost impossible to stock all the parts your car will ever need in your traditional chain stores. So why worry about the hassle of answering a bunch of questions about your car at a chain store when you can just pull out your phone, head on over to rockauto.com and search through their huge inventory to find the parts that you need. You can go, there's so many different reasons to maintain your automobile these days, but the biggest one is obviously to save money so that you can spend more money on important things in life. So why would you choose to spend 30, 50, sometimes even 100% for the exact same auto part at a chain store or new car dealership? Again, just head on over to rockauto.com. Make sure that you write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Get more of the sports news that you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. So I sent out a tweet earlier on Monday asking you for your win projection totals for the Brewers for this upcoming season. And even if there are, you know, still some moves to be made, again, I think they should at least get another third baseman, you know, if not to replace Urias at third base, for at least back up on the bench. But either way, I don't think that moves, whoever they would get at this point wouldn't move the needle unless they sprung a big trade on us. So, you know, I don't think that really changes the win projection total at all. But asked you all what you thought your win projection total would be for the Brewers this season, and got several really good responses. I replied back 86. That's kind of where I'm sitting right now. I think anywhere from 79 to 89 wins is what the Brewers could end up with. So I kind of went, you know, right there at 86. Nick Piccolo said 85. Baseball Dad said 78 to 81. Michael Meeker said 81. Ryan Labica said at the moment 85 wins. PJ said 81 and 81. Carl Sorbick said 87. Hopefully, Cardinals improved and Cincinnati declined, so maybe an opportunity to get some more W's. Michael Budney said 91, thinking very optimistically there. I like that. William Darner said, I'm thinking over a full 162 season, 85 wins. And then Trepanwitz said 72. So we're going to throw that one out from Trepanwitz. I hope they don't end up at 72. If they end up at 72, things have gone pretty terrible for the Brewers this season. But pretty good responses there. Most of them, you know, in the 81 to 85 range, which is where I think most projection systems have the Brewers right now. So I think that's a pretty safe call. And you think about, you know, the NL Central, and, you know, there's not really a powerhouse team in the division. So I think the wins are going to be there. But at the same time, you know, I think at least three of those teams, the Brewers, the Cardinals, the Cubs, and maybe even the Reds, I think are kind of in that same area and probably are going to beat up on each other a little bit, which is why you might see the NL Central champion come out with 85 to 88 wins. I think 88 wins definitely gets it done in the division. I think 86 could certainly get it done as well, but I think anywhere from, you know, 85 to that 88 win total will definitely be in contention for the NL Central this year. As again, there's just, it's not a lot of great teams in there. I think there's some really, you know, solid teams. You know, even after the Cardinals got Arenado, I still think they have plenty of holes in their lineup and the back of their rotation as well. So even after that trade, it really didn't change my view of the division up a whole lot. I still think the Brewers have a really good shot if everything breaks their way. And really, that's what it's going to take this year. It's going to be one NL Central team where just all the breaks go their way and they kind of separate themselves from everybody else. So hopefully that's the Brewers. I certainly think it can be the Brewers. Certainly like the pitching staff, especially the top of the rotation. If the Brewers don't, you know, make any more moves this offseason, I think they've left some budget room there to make an in-season acquisition if, you know, once they see how things are going, if, you know, they're looking good and they're, you know, everybody's staying healthy and the Brewers look like they got a shot at the winning the Central, then I think there's an opportunity there to go out and maybe make a big trade and go for the division title. But I think it's just going to be a tight race all year long either way. And it looks like most of you kind of agree with that, you know, 81, 85, 88 win total range, which is, I think, pretty fair for the Brewers. If they were to dip under 78 wins, I would consider that a pretty disappointing season, just because the margin of error is so slim when you don't have a ton of depth, which the Brewers don't. You know, so if an injury happens or somebody just doesn't play up to their level like we're expecting, you know, that could, you know, obviously adjust the totals quite a bit there. But again, the Brewers players didn't play up to their standards last year and still were able to squeak into the postseason, obviously with the expanded postseason format, which we won't have this year, or at least not right now. The league could throw that on us at any moment. Last year it wasn't implemented until the opening day, so we'll see what happens with that. But I'm not expecting the expanded postseason to be in place for the 2021 season, but I still think the Brewers have a really good shot of winning the division, of finishing with that 85 plus win total, 85 to 88 win total mark. So I appreciate all the responses there on Twitter to that comment. Again, really appreciate all the feedback that I get from the listeners on Twitter. Please continue to do that, and I'll continue to incorporate you guys in the show as well. And then I wanted to end up the podcast talking about this article from Adam McAlvey on MLB.com, looking at the homegrown crew best picks in club history. Kind of just an interesting article here, looking at some of the best draft picks in Milwaukee Brewers history. Go quickly over the top five here. He has Robin Yount from the 1973 draft. Obviously one of the best of all time. Pretty easy pick there. The Paul Molitor pick is pretty interesting if you read through that. He was actually drafted 1974, the year right after Robin was picked. He was selected by the Cardinals. But the Cardinals didn't offer enough money, and so he went on to play at the University of Minnesota, and the Brewers were able to get him in the 1977 draft. So that's a pretty interesting story there about how the Brewers ended up with him and how he almost ended up being a Cardinal, and how tragic would that have been. Number three on that list is Ryan Braun. Obviously, right now, as we know, Braun's not coming back to play this year. I think, again, my feelings on it is if that, or a DH, you know, was put in place for the National League this year, that he'd be ready to sign with the Brewers. But if not, I think he's probably just going to call it a career. But we know how much the Milwaukee fan base loves Ryan Braun and how good he's been for the Brewers. Number four on the list was Ben Sheets. Really solid starting pitcher there for the Brewers for a while. Drafted 10th overall in 1999 out of UL Monroe. Fifth was Jeff Cirillo, another really solid draft pick there He was an 11th round pick in 1991 out of Southern California, USC there. So pretty interesting article to read through there. Just look at some of the top draft picks. You know, you kind of wonder who could crack this list of current Brewers players and draft picks. You know, maybe Garrett Mitchell will be on this list one day, but just pretty interesting read there. I thought if you want to go check that out on MLB.com. But that will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and email us your questions and comments and feedback at LockedOnBrewers@gmail.com. And you can follow me at ShortstopBall on Twitter. Also, make sure that you subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.